Mark chapter 7, and we're going to be covering verses 14 through 23, looking at what is it that defiles us, becoming defiled. Let's read it together. Notice it says, "And when he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, 'Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from the outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear.' And when he entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said to them, 'Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods.' And he said, 'What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And all these things come from within and defile a man.'" Becoming defiled, you know, all of us have things in our life that make us feel defiled, but there are only certain things that really defile us. And that's what we need to understand. And that's where a lot of legalism comes in. That's where a lot of Sadducee and Pharisee and the religious leaders of Jesus' day came in. And today we're going to see the Lord teach a parable about what defiles a person and what doesn't. Now, most of us know what we're defiled by and what we're not defiled by, but I think sometimes the lines are confused because of maybe upbringing or what we've been taught. And so it's important we understand the difference between the outward things that can defile and the inward things that really do defile. Now, why did the Lord suddenly jump into this and begin to deal with this issue right here in this parable? Because remember, where we left off last week, the Lord had just dealt with the religious leaders of the day. And that is the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the Jews of the day, the Orthodox Jews were teaching that you had to follow all these outward rituals in order to be right with God. And remember, the one he just dealt with was washings. They would wash cups and pitchers and whatever else they could wash in some type of ritualistic ceremony. And the one they were doing right then really in confronting the disciples on was the washing of their hands. Remember, they would take eggshell and a half and pour it this way and an eggshell and a half and pour it that way. And the hands had to drip a certain way and all this ridiculous stuff. And the disciples, I love these guys. They just sit down and start eating, you know, and just enjoying the Lord. And these guys didn't like it. So the Lord confronted them on it. And that's where we left off last week. He had confronted them on their traditional ceremonial ways and rebuked them because of this, because the Bible doesn't require any of this. And again, we talked about whenever someone tries to lay a trip on you that the Bible doesn't teach, have nothing to do with it. Now, never breach your conscience. But don't let somebody put a trip on you for something that the Bible doesn't say is something we're to be doing. And not only were they using their tradition and putting their tradition on others, they were also actually using it to override the Word of God, if you remember. They were saying, hey, if our tradition says something different than the Bible, then follow our tradition. Well, this made Jesus upset, and rightfully so. And he said, nonsense. You guys are missing the whole thing. God's Word is the ultimate authority. You know, we've talked about God's Word being the authority, and we talk about God's name being above every name. But remember, the Bible says, yes, God's name is above every name, but the Psalms tell us that God holds His Word even above His name. Now, how much higher do you get than that? There's only one thing higher than the name of the Lord, and that's His Word. And really, it's kind of a trick question because they're one and the same. Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. But His Word, He gives that high position to so that we will understand the amount of respect and the position we need to hold it as believers. And this is where the religious leaders were saying, you know what, our tradition is higher. You know, it's bad enough when we try to please God by our own efforts and our own standards. It's even worse when our own efforts and our own standards override the Word of God. And this is why Jesus now had to step in and say, wait a minute, not only am I going to deal with you guys, but I'm going to deal with the entire crowd that's here. Everybody gather around. So we're going to see at this very first verse, the Lord gathers everyone there because He wants everyone to know, and especially His followers. It is not what is on the outside that defiles, but what is on the inside that defiles. You know, when it comes to man-made religion or even established religions that aren't man-made, each individual group will oftentimes decide what is right and wrong, what is clean and dirty, and what is defiling and what is not. It's amazing the stories I hear of people. They go to some church, and at this church, that was right and that was wrong. And then at this church, that was right and that was wrong. And at this church, that was right and that was wrong. Now, I understand policy, and I understand certain things that can vary from church to church. There's nothing wrong in that. You have to design and organize it the way that works best for your fellowship. But when it comes to the teaching of the Word of God, then this is our standard. The Bible is what we look to as to whether it's right or whether it's wrong. Not whether our group says it's right or whether our group says it's wrong. And so, again, we have to make sure that we have that standard. Again, we all have individual things as well that we think defiles us. We have to decide, is it really defiling before the Lord, or is it something that I think is simply defiling? Now, this doesn't really deal with spiritual matters, but I remember years back when I was in between high school and college, I was kind of getting into golf, and I golfed a little bit in high school and some in college and didn't really carry it on beyond that. But I remember getting up one early morning, just before the sun had come up, and grabbing me a bag of donuts. I was heading on my way to the golf course. And so I'm driving there to the golf course, you know, early in the morning, and I start eating my donuts, and I just brushed my teeth. And you know how it is when you brush your teeth? Nothing tastes good. Everything tastes defiled, if you follow me on that. Even powdered donuts don't taste good right after you brush your teeth. Something's wrong about that. And so I'm eating these powdered donuts, and it's kind of a strange taste, but it kind of keeps going on. It's just, you know, it's probably just the toothbrushing thing, and it's early in the morning. I just about get to the golf course. The sun is just now starting to come up, and I've finished about five maybe of that six-pack. And I glance down and notice that the donuts are completely green. All of the white sugar's green, the donuts green, everything. I didn't have any illness or strep throat for 10 years after that. But all the penicillin the man could handle, I had eaten on the way to the golf course. And all day long, I remembered those green donuts. You know, with every hit, oh, there it is again, the green donut. It was an awful day, to say the least. But I wasn't defiled spiritually by that, was I? I was defiled physically. But I wasn't defiled spiritually. And this is the lesson the Lord wants us to learn. It's not about something that happens on the outside. It's about the heart. And if you ever have any questions about whether or not you're right with God, it always boils down to the heart, not the outward issues. And that's what the Lord has to deal with here. So he's just rebuked the Pharisees. He now has to make a public correction to his followers and all who are there to make sure they understand what is truly right and what is truly wrong. And that's where we take up in verse 14. And notice it says, when he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand." I love this. Notice, after they had heard false teaching, or it was revealed that false teaching was out there, what did the Lord do? He called everyone to himself to get instructed in the right way. And the Lord does exactly the same thing today. What do I mean? I simply mean this. Whenever you hear something that sounds like it may not be right, you wonder whether or not this is really something the Bible teaches or doesn't teach, then you're going to hear that voice, if you're a believer of God, saying, "Come to me and find out. Come to my word." And that is where we as believers are always to turn. If someone says you're supposed to do this or you're supposed to do that, then what we need to do is say, all right, I'm going to gather to the Lord. I'm going to get in his word, and I'm going to find out if this is really something I'm supposed to do. And again, if we would just do that, this would break down all of the different individual man-made rules that we try to set on ourselves oftentimes in following the Lord. And so the Lord draws everyone to himself. You know, Jesus hates man-made religion, and if we would simply gather to him to hear what he has to say about it, he will always correct it, always. And again, how does he correct it? By gathering us to him, by gathering us to the Bible, by gathering us to the word. And that is why the word is so important in the believer's life, not just on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night or any other time, individually every day, being in the word of God. So he gathers them together. And notice, he says, there is nothing that enters a man from the outside which can defile him. What a statement. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. Now, again, a very direct and public rebuke of the religious leaders. And remember, this was a huge deal to them. This was huge in their society. If you didn't wash your hands the right way, if you didn't eat the right foods, even today among the Jews, if you eat the wrong things, you're considered defiled. And so the Lord was now coming to take the law and fulfill it. Remember, he didn't cancel the law by saying the law is no good. He fulfilled the law, which means now we don't have to keep it. Now we simply follow him by his grace and by his mercy and what he has done for us. But he's trying to correct this and saying, you know what? I got to set the record straight. It is not by the things of the outside. It's not by what you eat or what you wear or these kind of things that affect you as a believer. It is by what goes on in the heart. And what a liberating statement this is for the Christian. And why so? Because we often feel dirty and defiled by things that happen to us on the outside of our heart. But the reality is, unless it comes from the inside of our heart, we are not defiled before God. Note that. And the reason being, our heart truly reveals who we are and what's on the inside. And so everything else is external. You know, there are certain things you can't stop from happening. You might be in a situation where you're in a room and there's a bunch of people and that it's really your foul mouth or whatever's happening. And when you're in that environment, don't you just feel defiled? You know, you just feel dirty. You walk outside and take a bath, and that's good. You know, bathe in the word, ask God to just whatever. But it doesn't defile your heart unless you allow it in your heart, and then it takes root. And then it becomes defiling. As a matter of fact, if we're going to reach the world, we have to go around some defilement, don't we? There is no way to get out into the world and reach them. You know, we over the years back and forth, I've done some street witnessing, and some of you have done that as well. If you're going to be upset by a cuss word or by someone who's very loose with their mouth or whatever they might even do in action, you're never going to be able to go out and reach them, because that's what the world is like. You get into the world, that's what you can expect. And so we have to make sure that we understand, look, that's not defiling me. I'm going to go reach them and try to pull them out of it. Now, I may feel a little bit dirty afterwards, but just, you know, spend some time with the Lord and that feeling goes away. And it's a part of reaching the lost. You know, we can't control what goes on around us. And hence, if it's not originating from us or within our heart, we're not responsible for it. And we're not responsible for what the world does around us. They are. We are responsible for what originates from our heart and what comes from within ourselves. And this brings up a very important point here, because some of you in here this morning right now probably feel defiled because either as a child or as an adult, you were abused mentally or maybe even physically. I guess I was very naive until just the last few years that there was as much sexual abuse that goes on among kids, even in their own families, until some of the testimonies began surfacing here at Calvary Chapel. I was amazed. I mean, honestly, in my mind, maybe one out of every 100,000 had ever faced such a terrible thing. And I come to find out that it's more like probably one out of every 10 or so. I don't know what it is, but the bottom line is it's pretty scary. Now, why do I say that? Because some of you right now, especially I speak to the ladies, maybe someone touched you inappropriately when you were younger or did something to you when you were younger and you have felt defiled. You feel like, you know what? I'm unclean. I'm an unclean person. You know what? Not before God. Because God says it's not what happens on the outside that defiles you. It's what happens in your heart after that. It's what sets up in your heart and comes out. That's where defilement comes from. And so our job is to take it to the Lord and ask God to forgive us and ask God to, and if we hadn't done anything, not even ask God to forgive us, but to take it to the Lord and say, God, cleanse my mind of this, cleanse my heart of this. And you need to realize that you're clean before God. You didn't do that. Someone else did that to you. And so the bad news is that oftentimes we have these defiling feelings in our life. The good news is Jesus takes them away. And Jesus has washed them away. Whether or not it was something that we didn't do or whether something we did do, the Lord still forgives and the Lord still removes it. We have to make sure that we know that it's the outside things that don't affect us, the inside, the heart. That's what affects us. And so notice the Lord says, if anyone has ears, let him hear. Now again, this is because this was hard for them. This was tradition. To say to these people so steeped in tradition, you no longer have to worry about what enters you. What about a ham sandwich? What about all these other things that we've been saying for all these years are wrong? The Lord came to do away with all that. And this was the very beginning of those lessons, and they needed to learn those lessons. But this was tough to hear. And again, tradition, you know, if you come from a background of tradition this morning where you are convinced, I spoke with someone just this past Wednesday night, and they said, you know, I have a friend that I want to really bring. I wish I could get my friend to come here, but they just believe with all their heart that you're not allowed to play any music during worship sets. If you play any instruments, you're wrong with God. Guys, the Bible does not teach that. This is one of those moments where Jesus would say, all right, whoa, 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 gather to me. Everyone come in, gather to me. Let me speak to you the word of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible speaks of the instruments in the New Testament that'll be played and the singing that will be done for the Lord. There's nothing in it. That is simply man-made tradition and a misinterpretation of scripture. And what it does is it doesn't condemn anyone and it doesn't keep anyone from heaven, but it rips people off of the joy they can have and it puts them in bondage. And if you're here this morning and you come from that background, you say, oh no, they're playing instruments. And worse yet, okay, this is far enough. I can handle a guitar. They've got drums up there. We're in big sin now. We laugh because some of us know people from that background, don't they? I could never go there because they don't have just a piano or organ. They actually play guitars and even drums, you know, the devil's instrument. Because the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, make a joyful noise to the Lord with all kinds of things. All kinds. I mean, you're probably glad we don't use some of them. It talks about cymbals. I mean, I was like, I mean, some of you know what I'm saying? The point is that we need to make sure that we're not putting our limits and our tradition on the word of God. We need to be free in God, not make others stumble, but not be bound up ourselves. And when we run across those that are stumbling, we gather them in like Jesus did. Now gather to me. Come on. Let's get in the word of God. I want to show you what God's word says about this, because they're trying to put you in bondage and the Lord would have you to be free. And so again, he says, if you have ears, listen up, hear. And then verse 17, notice when he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, there's the key, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. And he said, what comes out of man, that's what defiles a man. You see, Jesus was saying the heart is the issue, not earthly or fleshly things. I love this verse out of Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. You know, if your heart's messed up, everything else is done. Forget it. If your heart's messed up, then the rest of your life is going to be in complete chaos. If you have a heart right now this morning that is not right before God, everything else in your life is a mess. I guarantee it. But I will tell you this, if you'll take care of the vertical, the horizontal will take care of itself. If you will take care of your relationship to God and where your heart is, everything else will fall into place. You know, if the engine of the vehicle is messed up, the rest of it's not going to do any good. You may have a really nice steering wheel and great foot pedals and nice radio, but you better enjoy just sitting there and going nowhere because it's not going to run. Maybe some of you heard this week about the woman whose car just quit working and she couldn't figure out why. And she's a lot like me. She didn't look under the hood very much. It wouldn't do any good if I did. I do. Sometimes I raise the hood and I look under there. That's a man's job when something goes wrong. Our job is to raise it and stare at it. But sometimes, I remember one time my car wouldn't start recently and I raised it up and it was like, it looked like 8 years worth of this corroded stuff around the battery on the top. And I'm thinking, how did this ever happen? Well, probably because I never looked under the hood and checked it. That's how it happened. But this woman, her car wouldn't work, so she lifts the hood and there's all these like just nuts all over the place inside of her car, in her engine. And come to find out, how did all those nuts get in there? Apparently some squirrel was living up in her hood and had all this home set up and winter storage and everything. And no wonder her car wouldn't work. But the bottom line is, if the engine's messed up, guys, everything else is going to be no good. Right now in your spiritual life, your heart is your engine. And the question is, how's that baby humming? I used to love my granddad. He used to love engines. And he would stand next to the car and just start up and stand there and say, whoa, listen to that baby purr. He just said, listen to that thing, listen. He smiled, just smiled. Listen to that thing purr. I'm thinking, okay, that's nice. Let's go. No, but anyway. But you know what? Again, you're not going anywhere unless the heart's in the right place. And so the challenge to us this morning is that Jesus gave to them, but really I want to challenge us with, where's our heart? Because it all boils down to the heart. That is the focus of everything, the heart. And so in a minute, we're going to do a heart check. We're going to go down kind of and do this list. I think every so often it's good to get under the hood spiritually and say, where are we? And challenge ourselves on some things. And the Lord does that here in just a minute. And so we're going to do that when we get there. But notice he says there in verse 21, for within, or rather in verse 20, he says, it's what comes out that defiles. Now he gets into his list of where is your heart? Notice, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed. And now he has this whole list of things. We're going to look at them each one individually. Notice, first of all, evil thoughts. It's interesting. Evil thoughts here literally means the word thoughts carries the idea of a discussion or debate with an underthought of suspicion or doubt, either in one's own mind or of another. Note that. Here's what he's saying is, it is a thought we have towards someone else where we have suspicion or doubt concerning them, and then we discuss it or debate it with someone else. Jesus said that defiles the heart. You know, we've all had that thing happen where, you know, I think maybe there's something wrong. Something doesn't seem right. I have maybe a thought toward them. God says, wait a minute, slam on the brakes. When that happens, slam on the brakes. And unless you know beyond a shadow of a doubt yourself that these things are true, have nothing to do with it, nor listen to anyone else that's saying it. It defiles the heart. It's an evil suspicion. You know, again, it's interesting. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, love believes all things. And that is, love will always give the benefit of the doubt to a brother or sister until we have personally verified that there's some problem. And even once we personally verify there's a problem, what are we to do? Go to them. Sit down with them. Say, hey, man, I need to talk to you. Look, there's some issues here. There's an issue. There's something going on. How do we get this right? The Lord says anything else is defiling. It defiles the heart. And so love believes all things. We need to make sure that we don't simply believe what we hear of others. And I've made a personal choice, especially in these later years of my life. Whenever I hear something about a brother or sister, I choose at that moment not to believe it and say, you know what, that's enough. I'm not even going to entertain that unless I know for sure that's true, because love believes all things. And I'm going to choose to love rather than jump to the conclusion that something's wrong. Now, that doesn't mean being blind. It doesn't mean burying your head in the sand. It doesn't mean lacking discernment. It just means making sure that you go through the proper steps to make sure you do it the right way. We need to make sure we do that. Now, let me say something else about this. As we're examining hearts, we have to be so careful as we go down this list, because with each one of these, I want us to challenge ourselves. I've already done that. I get to do that before you do. And I already had God deal with me in some issues. But as we go down these things, we have to realize not to let bitterness set into our hearts, because a root of bitterness can spring up and defile many around us. And one of the reasons we need to look under the hood and check ourselves in these areas is, first of all, so we don't become defiled in heart. But number two, we don't defile others. Hebrews 12:12-15 says this: "Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed." So the idea is healing here. "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Look carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness," notice that, "springing up cause trouble, and because of this, many become defiled." In other words, if you allow these things in your heart, it not only defiles you, it defiles others. So the first one the Lord deals with here is making sure that we don't have evil thoughts. Think the best of people, and then let the details pan out. If there's something wrong, God will reveal that in His time. Notice the next one, adulteries. Now this one is pretty self-explanatory. That is physical adultery, and it also covers mental adultery. Now, I speak mostly to the men here. Not that the women aren't involved in that as well, but the men are the ones on the mental side, and that is where the enemy will try to bombard us with thoughts and maybe someone that's attractive. Hey, she's good looking. Hey, look at her. Wait a minute. You need to stop. Jesus said if you do it in your heart, you've already, it's the same thing as doing it, you know, carrying out the other way. Now, that doesn't give an excuse for carrying out in a physical way. What I'm saying is that we need to guard our minds and guard our hearts. And it happens in two different ways. For men, it's typically, wow, look how good she looks. And you got to make a choice, turn away and not entertain those thoughts. For the women, it's usually on the emotional side. Wow, he said something nice to me. He noticed my perfume. He liked my hair. He saw my blouse. He, whatever, this kind of thing. He's recognizing me in that way. But whatever it is, you can't entertain those thoughts. It's just as bad. A man thinking sexually about a woman is just as bad as a woman fantasizing about what it would be like to have this man romance her. They're both adultery. And they both have to be guarded against. And so the Lord says, make sure that you don't do that. That is defiling to the believer. What's the next one? Notice he says fornication. Fornication, again, the definition biblically is sex outside of marriage. And again, here referring to the physical and mental aspect. And this would very obviously, the physical is covered there, but this would also include fantasizing about sexual relations with someone other than your spouse. So it's the mind working. Now, let me just say this. You can't stop the first thought from coming in. The enemy can throw that thought in. It's the second thought or the second look that'll get you. And so guard yourself. When it happens, what do? The Bible says take every thought captive. And here's what I do. And again, I go through this. I get reminded all the time because with my girls, these things come up and I have to share with them things to do and all this kind of stuff. But when you're taking every thought captive, how do you do that? Memorizing the Word of God in that area. Let's say you have an area of weakness, whatever that area is. Let's say, for example, here it is fornication, relations outside of marriage. And so the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, you know, those fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but I want to get in. And so when those thoughts come in the mind, what do? It is written. Remember what Jesus did out in the wilderness. It is written. You pull your sword out. It is written. Fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. That means if I'm going to have relations with my boyfriend or my girlfriend, I'm not going to go to heaven. I think I want to go to heaven. I'm going to repent. And I'm going to stop that activity right now. That's what it's saying. And that's what we have to do in the battle. Notice next, murders. Now this, of course, covers literal murder and also mental hatred. As Jesus said, remember, he said, if we hate our brother, we're guilty of murder before God. So murder, you know, even the thought process can defile us before the Lord. We have to guard our minds. And, you know, it's one thing to say, you don't like that person, but you have to guard ourselves. It's a thin line into crossing over into hatred. Notice the next thing he lists here. That is thefts. That is taking what is not yours. Again, this is not limited to simply breaking into someone's house or stealing something. Guys, this covers a lot of areas. Make sure that your heart and your conscience is clean when it comes to theft. It could be taking hours from your employer. Maybe you didn't work the full amount of work you were supposed to do. Maybe it was one of these things where, you know, you go to these places and, you know, somebody wants to be nice to you because you go there on a regular basis and they have these cards where if they stamp the little card, you know, you get these free meal after you get six of them. And so that's really a kind of a good thing. But when you get to that sixth one, yes, it just the seventh one tastes better or something. You know what I mean? And yet you've got somebody behind the counter who likes you and they've been real nice and they see you come in and they kind of wink at you and go chuk, 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 and hand you your thing. What's your response on that? Guys, for each chuk, that's a meal that should have been paid for the person who owns that business. And the person that did that had no right or business or ability to do that before God. They just took from their employer and said, I'm going to give to you. Now, they don't know that. They think they're being your bud. Wink, wink, nod, nod, you know, whatever. Especially the waiter at the table because they might get a bigger tip, right? We got to be careful. Guard your heart. Now, you can't stop somebody from doing that, but you can stop yourself from using it. Don't defile your heart. Don't let your mind be defiled. Don't let your conscience be defiled. This is not legalism. This is a matter of doing what's right before the Lord. Theft takes a lot of different areas. You know, I've had couples before that come to me after they're married. And I ask them a question because this is a common problem in our society. Did you have relations before marriage? They hate it when I ask that. But what are they going to do? Lie to the pastor? Okay, we did. Have you asked each other's forgiveness? What? Well, we asked God's. Not good enough. You need to ask each other's forgiveness because you stole from her. You took her body when it didn't belong to you. You stole from him. You took his body when it didn't belong to you. You need to be right with each other. Yes, God's forgiven you, but you need to remove that seed out of each other's heart that builds a lack of trust in your heart. And it begins to restore the marriage. I've seen that one thing restore marriages that were struggling in trust one with another because they never quite trust the other one. Hey, they were with me before I was married. Well, what if they're going to be with somebody else? And why are they late tonight from work? If that person says to them, I want to ask your forgiveness. I stole from you. That was not my right. Now they realize, you know what? If they're going to be humble enough and man enough or woman enough to ask forgiveness of that, then I don't think they're going to be worried about anybody else. I think I can trust them. And it does powerful things in the heart. So theft takes all kinds of different aspects. It defiles the Christian's heart. Guard yourself. And if you do it, ask forgiveness. Notice next, covetousness. It literally means a greedy desire to have more. This would refer to a lack of contentment in what God has for us. It doesn't mean that you don't go back to school or do whatever to get a better job so you can supply for your family better. There's nothing wrong with that. Hard work brings a reward. Be blessed in that. This is talking about not being content with having enough. It's amazing when you see these ball players with their millions of dollars and all their contracts saying, I don't think this is quite enough. We had just a while back, we had a ball player that kind of connected with this body. He was a professional ball player and they were offering him something like $19 million over a certain amount of time or whatever. And his agent was trying to get him more. And he just says, look, wait a minute. That's plenty. Just stop. Sign the deal. I don't care. I'm doing this because I love it. And I can't believe that God's let me be paid this much. And so what's the deal? See, his heart was right. But most of the ball players today, I mean, if they think they make a good catch or, you know, it's something that does the big deal, what do they want? They need more. And so we need to guard ourselves. How much is enough? Where is our heart on that? Are we desiring what we don't need just because we want what someone else has or we want more? Notice the next one he says here in verse 22, he says, wickedness. This is a word that speaks of an active, dangerous, and destructive wickedness. Now note this, there's two different types of wicked in the scripture. There's a wicked that is just wicked because they want to be. And then there's a wicked that wants to be wicked and pull other people in that wickedness with them. That is the word used here. Not only am I going to be wicked, I'm going to pull other people in that wickedness. It's not enough for me to do wrong. I'm going to make phone calls and send emails. I want more people involved in my sin, and I'm going to drag them into it. Guard our hearts. It is defiling. The Lord says, stay away from it. Notice next, deceit. This means being crafty and dishonest. It's where we pretend to be one way and we're really another. It could be being two-faced to someone. You're one way to their face, you're another way behind their back. He says, don't do that. That defiles the heart. These are things that defile the heart. Be real with each other. Again, that doesn't mean you have to tell them every detail. You know, don't go out to hurt feelings, but be real with each other. Notice the next one here, lewdness. The word means literally unrestrained sexual lust and desire. This is the person who sleeps around with most anyone. And in our day and age, this could be male or female. The bottom line meaning of the word is it's sexual activity without limits. There's no limits on it. And if you noticed our society today, now again, in the world, we expect this to some degree. Shouldn't be so in the church. It defiles. But in our society today, this is becoming something that is becoming, more common. No limits on this. You know, whether it's male, whether it's female with male, female with female, it doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, there was a recent craze. Maybe some of you are aware of it. I know all the kids are aware of it. I don't know if all the adults are aware of it. But this whole thing with girls kissing girls, you're probably aware of it. Even a song written about it. That's probably the best way to sum this word up. It's basically lewd behavior with no restraints. No restraints. Just do whatever you want. Whatever you think feels good, do that. The Lord says, stay away. That defiles the heart. Notice the next one here. He says, an evil eye. It is defined as a malicious, mischief-working eye. That is not just dealing with the evil that comes your way, but looking for it. You know, it's the difference in the person who's surfing the channels and there's some evil there and it's no big deal to them, doesn't bother them. But then they go looking for the evil on the channels. They know the evil will be there. That's what it means. He says, this will defile you, the evil eye. You're seeking after evil. Next, notice he says blasphemy. This speaks of reviling or speaking evil of another. And it's not limited to speaking evil of God. It can be speaking of other people. So included reviling others, talking bad about them, and it kind of included in what we've already talked about and goes along with gossip and slander. Notice the next one. Now, this is huge. Pride. This means to show oneself above others, and this can include showing yourself above man or even God. somehow that I'm greater than God, or I know better than God does. And this was the sin of Satan. And this is why we have to be so careful. It's a deadly sin. It's the type of person who decides they're going to pass laws or rules or whatever that go beyond God's word because they think they know better. And you know what's interesting about pride is you can actually see it if it's bad enough. You ever notice that? There's kind of this, you know, I have a plan and this will be what I'll be doing, and I'll be doing this and appointing that and doing this, and I think that I can solve this. And there's this upward kind of tilt. Have you noticed that? The Bible says there will be an upward tilt to the head when pride reaches a certain place. I mean, some people can look fairly normal when the pride's just beginning, kind of baby pride. When pride gets full grown, watch out. It is an ugly, ugly thing. And it manifests itself in the way someone stands, their very posture. It manifests itself in the way they speak, an arrogant look they have in their eye, a specific attitude they might have. And it also finds itself hand in hand with defiance toward authorities and leadership. Well, I don't really like the way they do that. Well, I think that. Watch out. Watch out. It's one thing to be observant based on scripture and having a loving heart to pray for someone you think might be in error. It's another thing to begin to kind of lift your head and say, I think, it's an I problem. This is where Satan fell. Satan said, I will ascend to the highest place. I will do this. I will do that. And so pride is an ugly and powerful thing, and it's brought many a good men and women down. And lastly, notice he says foolishness. Now, this is really means senselessness. It isn't speaking of having fun or, you know, being silly. It's speaking of moral folly. Note that. Moral folly and the person who chooses immoral conduct. And the Lord lists all these and says all these evil things come from within and they defile a man. So there's the list of things. As we raise the hood, there's the list. Now, as we went down the list, some of us got hit, didn't we? I know I did this week. But I already went to the Lord and got it right because I got it before you guys. Now it's your turn. You see, the question this morning is, where's your heart? Is that thing purring like a kitty? Right? As my granddad used to say. Or are there a lot of knocks? A lot of noises? A lot of unrest? A lot of irregular heartbeats? A lot of things that right now God is saying, you know there's a problem. It's time to deal with it. Because until you get the engine running right, everything else is on hold. It's not going to do you any good in your walk or your relationship with God. I'm not concerned even if you're coming to church or how everything looks on the outward or what you're doing. What matters is, where is your heart? And guys, this is where our challenge is today. Where is our heart? Is our heart defiled today? And the question is just to lead us to confess and repent if that's the case. See, here's the bad news. The bad news is we have all, as I said at the beginning, had a defiled heart at one time or another, and maybe even some of us have a defiled heart this morning. Here's the good news. Jesus died for it. And now all you have to do is confess it and turn from it, and you're clean. One of my favorite verses, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and I love this and, it's in huge letters, ready, huge A, N, D, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's beautiful. The Lord is saying, you just confess it to me. And this morning, you may even confess it and not even feel forgiven yet. Forget your feelings. Confess it to the Lord. Ask his forgiveness. Repent of it and say, God, get my heart back in tune. You've looked under my spiritual hood today. You've seen what's going on in my heart. I need a tune up. I need you to do something to make it right. Clear out all the valves. Get everything working the way it's supposed to. Because, Lord, I want to walk with you the way I'm supposed to walk. And you know what? The inside of the engine is much more important than the outside, although the outside is where we typically look the most. Let's let God deal with the inside of the engine this morning. Let's pray and ask him to do it. Father, we right now before you give you full permission to look under the hood. And Lord, we know you've already been doing that. As we've gone down this list of things, Father, that you have told us and shown us is what defiles a heart. Lord, as we've gone down the list, there's been many of us that have seen things we're guilty of. And if we're not guilty today, we have been guilty. And if we're not guilty today, we will be, Lord, unless we stay right with you. But here's our heart, Lord. As your followers, we want to be right with our God. And so as you have examined us with your Holy Spirit, as your blazing and piercing eyes have burned to our heart this morning, Lord, let us not run from it. Let us not try to hide it and pretend it's not there. We lay it out before you right now. And Lord, we ask not only that you would forgive us, we ask you would cleanse us and purify our hearts. Lord, get our spiritual engine running the way you want it to run once again. And we submit ourselves to you. And I encourage us right now as we're praying, allow God to do that. Begin to confess anything right now in your heart that you need to confess. and lay it before the Lord so he can cleanse it. And Father, I pray for any in here right now that their hearts have never been cleaned from defilement because they've never come to know you as Lord. They've never allowed your sacrifice to take their place. Lord, right now, as they have been convicted by the hearing of your word, the piercing of the heart, the work that your spirit does, I pray that they would begin to not only recognize that, but right now begin to confess it. And if that's you, I ask that you'd begin to confess that right now. If you want to do that before the Lord, begin to confess it. Lord, help them to confess it. And Lord, help them to repent of it and to turn from it. And to believe that you died on the cross for them. Your blood was spilled so that they might be saved and that they might have eternal life. And that they now, Lord, even would not only confess and repent, but would ask you into their heart and receive you as Lord and Savior, that the defiled heart might be cleansed. Lord, do your work. And we thank you for your faithfulness to do it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.